In the fall of man that is presented to us in allegories. When I say allegories, we're talking of types in parables. Jesus Christ spoke in parables. And while speaking these parables, these were all pointers to spiritual truths concerning God's kingdom. So the story of Adam, like we know, is like a parable, an allegory that is presented to us so that we can understand how come men find themselves in so much difficulty. Why men go through the pain and the hurts that they go through. All this with the scope of educating man on how he can return back to his place in paradise. Praise God. Paradise is all within you. Paradise is a state of consciousness, of life in God. See, it's a consciousness that can confess like Jesus, I and the Father are one. The Father has not left me. I will do the things that please my Father. All that the Father has is mine. So that is an elevated state of consciousness that man lost in the transgression, and God wants to restore man back. That is why we have the good tidings of the kingdom. You are hearing things that you never heard before. You are hearing things that, you know, at times we receive messages, mails, and people say, wow, that this thing is way beyond what they ever knew. Why? Because the Father of light is commanding that same light that, you know, we saw in Genesis chapter 1 to enlighten the darkness in our hearts. The abyss, there's a darkness hovering over our comprehension, over our minds, and, you know, God is commanding the light to bring a pure revelation, you know, about ourselves. And, you know, and when we discover this self that we are going to talk about now, it's an opening to a new realm, an entrance, a door into God's world. Hallelujah. You can see in the transgression, step by step, how Adam, who was reigning in God's glory, the Garden of Eden represents God's paradise, God's kingdom, God's world, God's realm. It represents heaven. Like I've always said, heaven is not somewhere in the sky or somewhere after you die. Jesus Christ confessed, even while here on earth, that he was in heaven. Paul says that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Those of you who are experiencing life, you must awake to this reality. It's a reality for now. We can, like Jesus, experience heaven. Hallelujah. Praise God. Heaven, I'm in heaven. Amen. I think it's a song by Fred Astley, one of those famous dancers years ago. We can experience heaven right now as we allow the light of God lead us back to our place in Zion. Praise God. So we can see the systematic degradation of man. How Adam was reigning in life. He was actually in the bosom of God, in the Father. That was life hidden God in heaven. In the Garden of Eden, where everything is beautiful, everything works out. No sin consciousness, no poverty consciousness, no fear for tomorrow, no fear of death. Until Adam, you know, became indoctrinated with the knowledge of good and evil. Adam began to receive from man, man's doctrines, man's ways. Adam became, you know, deceived by the wisdom of this age. And what is that wisdom of this age? The wisdom of this age believes in a God here and a man here. That's the wisdom of this age. The wisdom of this age is not able to comprehend the fact that God and man are one. So that is the wisdom that killed Jesus. That is the reasoning that manifested in itself in the religious minds of men that killed Jesus. Because Jesus had this pure revelation, this undiluted revelation about life in God, about his oneness with God. And you know, that was the beginning of his woes. That a man called himself God, a man, you know, equal with God. What blasphemy, what foolishness. And I can assure you, Jesus Christ did not have wings. Jesus Christ was not the holy, outwardly holy person that you think he was. He was just a regular guy. He was just an ordinary man like you and I, who had the revelation that he was in God. My life is in God. My life, I have no life apart from the life of God. If you see me, you see the Father. If you touch me, you touch the Father. It's the Father in me that does the works. He had this revelation. This is the revelation that was lost. This, or rather, we can't call it revelation. Now it's coming to us by revelation, but we can call it the knowledge, the understanding that was lost when man started to receive the wisdom of this age. So today all men are religious. Religion doesn't have to be that you go to church or you pray this way or pray that way. All men have a religious faculty, not of good and of good and evil. Praise God. And it all stems to the fact that, you know, God is here, man is here. And there is good and evil and all kind of, you know, mixtures has weakened the faith of man, has caused man, you know, to be reduced into what he is today. So when Adam started to receive from that tree of knowledge and good, we saw how Adam began to slip away from the presence of God, from the life of God. He became alienated from the life of God, separate from the life of God. He lost that life of God that is his life. I am naked. He began to run away from God, hide from God, no boldness anymore towards the Father. And we see how he began to slip away, and the Bible says that he was cast out of the garden. And being cast out of the garden, he was cast out into a realm where thorns and thistles grow. An infertile land. He was cast out into a realm of, you know, tribulation, where he toiled and sweat. What does he mean? He was cast out into outer darkness. He was cast out into what? Outer darkness. Where he began to lose, he lost all awareness of himself in God, his true life in God. And he begins to grope in outer darkness, looking for solutions, trying to survive, looking for ways to just get along in this life, looking for satisfaction, for fame, for something to just, you know, kind of quench his hunger and his desire. But he goes around endlessly in circles. Praise God. But today, the gospel has come so that we can rediscover. Today, a door is being presented to us through which we can enter back. Adam was cast out through that door. Praise God. And not that, it's not as if God, you know, flung Adam out of the garden. These are the imaginations we have as men, that God, you know, will come and do something to us and all that. All these are cooked up imaginations in us. See, out of a defiled consciousness. So that God will get somebody and cast him out into a desert. God will be after you to destroy you, to punish you, to get you. Praise God. But God has no such thing. Those are things in our minds. Jesus Christ brought true understanding on the mind of God when he says, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The Father is not there to take away the kingdom from you, but rather to what? To give you, to keep the kingdom and to establish you in the kingdom forever. That is the will of the Father. Praise God. There's no such Father that takes away the kingdom for you. Rather, he wants that the kingdom be what? Established in you. The thoughts of God towards you are thoughts of peace, joy, righteousness. To an expected end for every soul. See, it is not after anybody. See, these are the cooked up imaginations that Adam had when he started to hide away from God. Run away from God. And God says, who told you I'm naked? Just meditate on that voice of compassion. Who told you I'm naked? Where did you learn this from? Who deceived you? Praise God, that is the same voice that appeared again as Jesus, seeking to restore man back to his place. That reconciliation work had already started when man started to say, I'm afraid. God was there trying to convince Adam not to be deceived, trying to bring Adam back. And Adam went far away into the lower places of the earth, praise God, and started living as a man of the dust, living as a mortal man, without God, without Father in this world. Hallelujah. But thank God, the entrance back to Eden is here. Hallelujah. There is a door that has been demonstrated to us. Hallelujah. Adam was cast out due to his unbelief. Praise God. False voices led Adam out. And what happens is that Adam, you know, was barred from the Eden, from the Garden of Eden. The Bible spoke about a flaming sword that went around Eden. Hallelujah. And cherubims that were led, that were kept there to guard the way back into Eden. Hallelujah. These are messages that at times can be very confusing. If you don't have spiritual insight, it will look at if, you know, those angels were there to prevent man from going back into the Garden of Eden. But it's all false. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you study the role of angels or cherubims or messengers in the Bible, they are always there to guide man back to God's kingdom. Praise God. The angels or ministers or messengers are simply the operating hand of God. Praise God. They are simply the manifestation of God. Manifested will of God in operation. So when an angel appears, it's simply doing the will of God. It's God appearing. So a messenger or whatever or cherubim will simply, his work is to guide every man or instruct or to lead men back into God's kingdom, not to cast men out. Hallelujah. Praise God. The flaming sword is always there. See, nothing of the nature of a beast, nothing of the nature of a carnal creature can enter in to paradise of God. No human being can enter into the paradise of God. That flaming sword that went around the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 2-3, that flaming sword, praise God, actually, you know, slay anyone who tries to enter in is slain. No human being, no man of flesh can enter into God's kingdom. Or rather, no one with a mistaken identity. Now, because when you say flesh and blood, it's simply the falsity of what we think we are as men. See, that nature, that false nature cannot enter into God's kingdom. That's why we see in the book of Revelation, I think chapter 21 or 20, in what people call the millennium, we saw the servants of God, those who had lost their heads. They had lost their heads for the testimony of Christ. Praise God. Why did they lose their head? These ones that lose their heads enter into reign with Christ in what is termed the first resurrection. Does it mean that they are headless? Do you have headless chickens in God's kingdom? They lose their heads, that's their natural heads, their human intellect, their human understanding, their identities as men, and they put on the head of what? They put on their true head, which is the Christ. Because you cannot reign in God's kingdom except by Christ. Praise God. The natural head, the carnal head, is the one that bears the imprints of the beast, which is the mark of the beast. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. It is the natural nature, the carnal nature, the terrestrial nature that actually acts as a barrier between man and God. Oh, hallelujah. For those of us who are new to this, let's quickly turn to the book of Revelation chapter 20 verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received the mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again and until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that has a part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him what? 1,000 years. Praise God. This is another, you know, how do I put it? It's another expression, you know, given to us in parables in the book of Revelations. Christ, hallelujah, reigning with Christ. See, Paul said that if we suffer with him, we shall what? Reign with him. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, we appear with him. Because Christ is our life. That is our identity. That is our true life. See, some versions say that these dead people return to life. They return to life. When somebody is dead, that means you lived one time, isn't it? Resurrection from the, if you are dead, that means once you are alive. And in reality, we died. It's when we started to, you know, to be indoctrinated with the wisdom of this age, this evil age that we live in. Praise God. So we see here a picture of those who partake in the resurrection. So how many of us want to be partakers in the resurrection? Everybody wants to be a partaker in the resurrection. And that is now, as you hear the truth being preached to you, you can walk right now in newness of life. Praise God. On hearing the sound of this voice, this ones lose their heads for the testimony of Christ. Now, if with your own head, with your own natural head, you are now a witness of the man of the flesh. With your own natural head, you are a witness of your outer man, of the human self. See, but when you put on the mind of Christ, when you lose your head to put on the mind of Christ, the head of Christ. Of course, Christ is our head. You now testify of Christ. See it. You now become a witness of Christ and God's kingdom. So what is happening here is that these ones have heard the truth and have lost their heads by faith. When Paul says that it's no longer I, but Christ that lives, you can see Paul had, you know, lost his head. He has lost his own intellect. He has lost his own life. So that even though you are seeing the physical body of Paul, it was actually the mind, the head of Christ, you know, the mind of Christ speaking to Paul. Praise God. So you can see in that frame of mind, that new mindset, Paul has access to that life to reign in Christ this 1,000 years. 1,000 years is actually an allegorical number that is infinite. It is now, as you hear the voice of truth, you can enter in right now and reign in life. Praise God. We are testifying about the Christ. We are speaking about our true lives. Praise God. Our true origins. Our only life that was lost to the darkness of this age. Praise God. To reign in life would mean that I find myself back in the Garden of Eden. Praise God. I undo all the lies. I undo all the evil. I undo all the works of the deceiver in my life. In fact, in the first few verses of Revelation chapter 1 and 2, we see how the Satan, the devil, the dragon, is bound by a messenger of God from heaven and cast into a bottomless pit. He's bound and cast into a bottomless pit and sealed there for this same 1,000 years. So that means the influence of Satan over our lives is no more. Praise God. The angel of God is the Christ. We know that the Son of God has come to give us an understanding. He has come to destroy the works of the devil. And what is the work of the devil? It's to deceive you. To hide your true identity as Son of God from you. That's the work of the devil. To hide your true nature. To hide everything that is God in you. That is the work of the devil. That is the deceiver. See, anything that tries to deny the Christ in you is the spirit of the Antichrist, and that is the spirit working in the world today. That is the spirit that reigns in all spheres of humanity. Praise God. But thank God, because the message has come from above. Hallelujah. John saw this angel, mighty angel with a chain and a key in the hand, and he bound Satan, the devil, the dragon, 1,000 years, cast him into a bottomless pit. Hallelujah. Meaning that there's no more accuser over you, no more voice deceiving you, no more influence of Satan over your life. And you can reign, you know, in that life, uninhibited, in the life of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Those that dwell in the secret place of God. Those that have known the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. God shall do what? He shall put under their feet the dragon, the serpent. So that they have no what? No more influence over you. No more deceiving influence. So that you can live in newness of life, knowing that you are Son of God. That the Father has not left you, the Father has not abandoned you, the Father is not after you. But you are one with God in love. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Let the veils fall off our eyes. Praise God. Because God is undoing everything that is devil has done in our lives. Hallelujah. Praise God. You can get your healing by recognizing your life, your true life, by entering and experiencing the life, hallelujah, that is in Christ. It's a wonderful thing. Oh, praise God. So There is a passageway, a door, a passageway that God has tried to demonstrate using various forms, parables. Even Jesus Christ spoke about parables. See, everything we see in this outer world is parables. Anything you can see, you can touch with your physical hand is a parable. Praise God. Everything that you can just perceive with the natural senses, they are all parables of the invisible things of God. Because the things of God are what are invisible. And they are real. They are eternal. The things that are unseen are eternal. They are real. Praise God. They don't pass away. They don't rust. They don't change. Praise God. And that is our life. That is our origin. We are invisible. We are incorruptible. We are eternal. Oh, praise God. When people hear the terms eternal life, live forever, long days, and all that, people think that it means continue on, you know, in the flesh. See, but we're beginning to understand today that our life in the flesh is not actually our true life. Praise God. We are called to hold on to the true life, which is the true, incorruptible, invisible life of God that is within every man. Praise God. So right now, we've experienced the darkness as men, the ignorance that is in this world, the corruption that is in this world, and where God is demonstrating to us a door into a new world. We can reign in life. Praise God. A door back into God's kingdom. A door back into paradise. This was what God was demonstrating when he told Noah to enter into the ark. And it was God who personally shut the door of the ark. Praise God. God was demonstrating a passageway back unto God's invisible eternal kingdom. In the days of Noah, the people were out there drinking and marrying and, you know, marrying and, you know, going about the activities, while Noah exercised himself to listen to the counsel of God, to receive counsel. Praise God. How many of us may realize that the counsel of God is for every man? Hallelujah. The wisdom of God is for every man. The things of God are what? For every man. Do we pay for the sunshine? Of course, if men had a way to regulate the sunshine so that we will pay, they will do it. But they've not devised a means yet, you know, for us to pay for the sunshine, or the air that we breathe, or the rain that we receive. If there was a way the government could regulate this so that we pay, they would definitely do it. Don't be surprised if some kind of bill comes out later, legislation, but these things are free. God gives freely to all men. Praise God. If you ask without wavering, God will give this thing to you freely. You know, I received messages of people who have talked to me. I met people and they told me, man, that you have a special grace. That God has given you a special grace. Look, God has not given me no special grace. Praise God. If you can just be sit down to listen and exercise yourself to listen, the same things that I'm preaching, you will receive from the Father himself. Praise God. Hallelujah. Don't look at it as if somebody, God loves somebody the other better than the other one. God, we are all one in God. Praise God. You cannot tell me that you love your leg more than your hand. You can't tell me you love your eye more than your mouth. It's all part of you. You love every part of your body equally. And so, likewise, man, God sees us as an integral part of himself. So he cannot say this is evil and this is good. God sees himself in us. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're seeing things, we're hearing things today. We're receiving wisdom from above today. Noah exercised himself to receive from God. Why the others in the days of Noah could not receive was simply because they were carried away. See, at times we get carried away, isn't it, by the cares of this world. At times things press on us. The cares of life, isn't it? Worries of the bills, worries for job, you know, worries about a child who's not doing well, or a child who has a problem, or a family member who has a problem, worries about a relation who has left you, about marital relations and all these things. Praise God. Pray to God to give you grace to remove your mind from these things, because when you are awake, you discover that they never existed. See it. Pray to God to give you grace and exercise yourself in this grace to listen and receive from God freely. Praise God. Noah was righteous in his days. And I tell you, your righteousness is not because of what you do. It's not because you don't drink beer. It's not because you don't chase women. It's not because you don't smoke a joint. It's not because you go to church every day. Your righteousness comes by revelation. And how will you get this revelation if you are not listening? Praise God. Hallelujah. I offended somebody the other day when I told him that if Bin Laden can hear the voice of God, he'll be the first to be in God's kingdom. And somebody got offended. How can such a man, you know, get forgiven? Hallelujah. Praise God. The other day we had a meeting, a seminar, and some sisters walked in. And after the seminar, somebody walked up to me and told me, "Man, you know those caliber of sisters, what they do? That those type of people are not serious, that they cannot enter God, they are not serious, they are not worthy, they cannot enter into God's kingdom." And I told the person straight away, "Now, look here, the grace of God is for all men." Hallelujah. The grace of God is for all men. I know what grace is. Hallelujah. Imputed righteousness. Praise God. Receive this grace, this message from above. That the way it is the way you are. Hallelujah. You cannot rediscover your righteous self except you exercise yourself to listen. Except you exercise yourself to receive counsel from above. Hallelujah. So Noah was there listening, receiving counsel from God. And in the course of doing this, a door was opened for Noah. Noah passed through what? A door. And you know, this was a divinely provided door. Noah passed through this door, and we see how Noah came out of that same door in another world, upon the highest peak, which is an allegory of Zion, the realm of the spirit. Praise God. We see that Noah inherited the blessings that was lost in Adam. The dominion, the fruitfulness that represented the blessings of Adam was bestowed upon Noah. God used this as an allegory to show us of a door that is being demonstrated to us. God is pointing out this door to every man today who has ear to ear, that you can enter into life. Praise God. You can enter into life in God's kingdom. God's kingdom is upon the everlasting hills of Zion. That is where Noah's ark stuck, and that is where Noah came out of. Hallelujah. You enter into this door, through this door, and you find new life. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. God demonstrates this again through the testimony of Lot. We see two contrasting stories. Lot was, you know, had passed through that same door. See, with messengers of God, and supped with the messengers of God. Now, what do you think the messengers of God would do with Noah? With Lot? Look, the messengers of God only do one thing, and that is to declare the will of the Father. That is the word. Behold, I knock on the door of your heart. If you open up, I will enter in and sup with you. Noah and Lot fellowship with that message from heaven, unleavened bread, which is the pure, undiluted word of truth without the lies of this age. Yeast represents the wisdom of this age. Wisdom represents the lies, the wisdom of this age. And that's why when you put the yeast in bread, what does it do to the bread? The bread swells up. See it? Well, Paul says that you have vainly puffed up with your fleshy carnal minds. Vainly what? Puffed up with your fleshy carnal minds. That's why you have the lust and the pride of life. Because men are contaminated with yeast, which is the lies and the wisdom of this age. Praise God. So today we are having the diluted, undiluted word, which represents that, you know, that bread without yeast, which Lot feasted on. And that thing will only lead Lot. The angels by morning led Lot and the family by their hands through that open door. And his instruction was, Lot, flee to the high mountain. That was the instruction of the angel. Today you are hearing that same voice. Flee to the high mountain, which is Zion. Flee to God's kingdom, because that life that you have lived, that realm is about to be destroyed. Completely annihilated. Hallelujah. As the light of God comes to, you know, comes to the forefront. Praise God. While Lot was finding escape, there was another category of people who were there looking for the door. The Bible says that those inhabitants of Lot were blinded because of their rebellion, because of the hardness of their hearts. Their eyes were what? They were blinded so that they could not find the door into that house. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. They couldn't find that door because of the blindness that was in their hearts. And what is that door today? The door today is nothing other than Christ. Jesus Christ says, I am the door. That is the door that Noah passed through. That is the door that Lot passed through to enter into life. But the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah, they were struck with a curse. They were blinded. They were groping in darkness and they could not find the door. They were holding and looking for the door. They couldn't find it. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Some of us are looking for solutions to our problems. Looking for escape. Looking for ways to prosperity. Looking for ways to health. But we are looking the wrong way. We are not recognizing the door. And that door is a person. That door is a consciousness. That door is a state of being. That door is the Christ. For he says that I am the door. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the door back into your blessed realm. Meaning that you cannot get back into that realm except you put on Christ. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Jesus Christ says that in that day, amen, many people will come and say that we have done works in your names. You see this in Luke chapter 13. Let's quickly read this. Strive to enter in at the straight gate, that's the narrow gate. Strive to enter in through that narrow gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Praise God. You can see that those inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah sought to enter in through the door, but they couldn't. But Noah found escape to that door. Oh, praise God. Luke chapter 13, verse 25. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut the door, and he begins to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. He shall say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and drunk at that, in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all the prophets of the kingdom of God, and you yourself trust out And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are first which shall be last, and last which shall be first. Praise God. I just read Luke chapter 13 from verse 24 to 30. Praise God. It's another pointer to that door, that entrance into life. A category of people who seek that door but have not been able to find that door. Praise God. Not because they are not churchgoers, not because they don't pay tithes, not because they don't have a traditional church they go to, not because of any moralistic reason, but simply because ignorance, spiritual ignorance. These ones have not discerned what the door means. See, I cannot enter as Trevor. Praise God. Gary Sigler cannot enter as Gary Sigler. Nanny cannot enter that door as Nanny. The door is Christ. I am that door. No man can enter into that door. God does not know you as a man. At times you are there praying to God and praying and, you know, asking God for favors and seeking the face of God in your humanity, asking God to kind of forward or better your life as a man, but God does not know you as a man. Full stop. Your identity as a man is a formation in this world that we live in. It's an identity that has been cooked up that has no eternal value. Your carnal, terrestrial nature is not of God. It's not created of God. So God does not know you. As a man, God does not know you. God does not know a beast. Someone with the imprint of a beast. Praise God. Hallelujah. God, Jesus Christ gives us a clue here on how you can enter into that door. You know, God, Jesus is very, very smart here. And I can assure you that many have read these scriptures over the years and they have not understood what Jesus meant. After all this, Jesus Christ quietly adds, behold, there are last which shall be first, and first which shall be last. Jesus Christ has explained how you can enter in. What is the first and last? Jesus Christ says, I am the beginning, I am the end. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the first and the last. Before Abraham was, I am. It's a state of consciousness. It's a state of being. Do you know that you are in God before this world was? Oh, hallelujah. Before you entered into a deep state of sleep, as mortal men, do you know that you were in God? Do you know that your origin is in God? Do you know your life is in God? Praise God. The first shall be the last, and the last shall be the first. Every man must awake from his humanity and return to the first estate, because your last state is your first state. The way you were is the way you are and the way you will be. All you need is to awaken to this reality. Pure spirit, celestial beings. Oh, hallelujah. Pure spirit, that's what you are. You are not terrestrial beings. You are not flesh and blood. You are not of this world. You are birthed out of the womb of God. Praise God. You must begin to recognize yourself and allow the Spirit testify in you of the Christ in you. You must allow the Spirit bring an awakening in you, remembrance of all these truths that you have lost about yourself. Jesus Christ turned to the disciples and told them that you have been with me before this world was. You have been with me from the beginning. Praise God. The disciples are those who have exercised themselves to hear truth, to know truth. We must begin to recognize that we have been in God from the beginning. Praise God. That is your salvation. Your beginning is your end. Your first state is your last state. It's only as you put on your first state, which is the Christ, who is from the beginning, that you can pass through that door into life. It's all about recognition and confession right now where you are. Praise God. Don't try to, you know, we're not trying to say that you have to do anything. Just know. Know that I am God. Isn't that what the Lord says? Be still and know that I am God. Praise God. If you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. You will die in your sins. You will continue perishing in ignorance if you not know that you are the incorruptible, immortal, eternal Son of God. Hallelujah. Wonderful. Arise. Arise, thou that sleepest. Hallelujah. A door into life. An entrance back into eternal life. We are seeing it today. Praise God. The scope of the trumpet, the scope of the voice of the Spirit, the ministry, is to awaken us back to the life that is lost, to the ignorance that is in this world. Hallelujah. In the message to the church in Philadelphia, praise God, it says, He that is holy, he that is true, he that has the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set an open door before thee, which no man can shut. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, let's stop there. And in the later verses of this Revelation chapter 3, that's verse, you can see later on from verse 11, it says, Behold, I come quickly, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take away thy crown. Him that overcome will I give, that overcometh will I make what? A pillar in the temple of my God, and shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. Hallelujah. Now we can see here in the message to the church in Philadelphia, the Lord demonstrating to us a door into God's kingdom, a passageway into life. Praise God. This same door that we spoke about, you know, right from Noah unto Lot. This same door Jesus Christ spoke about many times in parables. He spoke about the door of the bridal chamber for the, you know, wise virgins. At midnight, the wise virgins were ushered through a door into God's kingdom. Praise God. He spoke about this same door when he says that, you know, I am the, what do you call it? I am the door to the sheepfold. Hallelujah. I am the door to the sheepfold. In John chapter 10 verse 2, it says, But he that entereth in by this door is the shepherd of the sheep. And in verse 9, John chapter 10 verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find what? Pasture. Hallelujah. So you can see Jesus Christ saying here, especially that I am that door. Praise God, there's no door somewhere in the sky, no door somewhere beyond the blues, but actually the door is a state of consciousness. Praise God, it's a spiritual being. It's the true spiritual nature of our true selves, the inner man, which Paul calls the Christ in you. Praise God. We are called to recognize this Christ in us and exercise ourselves by faith in this new creation work. Hallelujah. Walking in the Spirit. Recognizing our being in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's something that we do continuously. That's why he speaks about patience here. Patience. Because you have kept the word of our patience, I'm going to cause you to enter into the doors into the everlasting city of gold called the New Jerusalem. Praise God. Hallelujah. He that is holy, he that is true, we are beginning to get a revelation of our true holy selves, because in reality we are all holy. See, when you begin to know your true self, you realize that you are holy and you are perfect, you know, before God. You are without fault, you are without guile, you are without blame. You are the exact express image of the living God. Hallelujah. Not in the flesh though, but in the spirit. Hallelujah. We are advised to confess the Christ. See it, like Paul says, I have no confidence in the flesh. You begin to realize that the life in the flesh has no profit. Jesus Christ says that, you know, the flesh profited nothing. See, the carnal life has no eternal value. See, it might seem to achieve or prosper or do something for a moment, but it will all, you know, disintegrate and disappear with time. But there's something that you know endures forever, and that is real. Praise God, and that is the Christ in you. Praise God. And only by recognizing this Christ or rediscovering this Christ that you can actually discover the door back into God's world. God's infinite kingdom with infinite riches. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Infinite riches, infinite glory, infinite power, delights, pleasures in abundance, love in abundance, and everything. Hallelujah. Praise God. You rediscover yourself as the pillar in the house of God. See, walking in a new name, in the name of God the Father. Hallelujah. This is the name above all names which Jesus Christ himself inherited. And that is our same inheritance. Isn't it wonderful? Praise God. So we see this door that is open today through the revelation of Christ. It is something very, very wonderful. Hallelujah. Praise God. In Revelation chapter 4, we see the same entrance. I'm going to round up here. Revelation chapter 4, we see the same door, the same entrance into life. Praise God. And you can see that God is revealing to us the life. Because there are no two lives, you know that? There's one life, the life. Sweet. John says that this is the promise with which the Father has promised us, even eternal life. And there's one eternal life. There's one life, and we all are partakers of that life. Praise God. And in graphical form, in material form, God allegorical parable, in a parable, you know, parable-like presentation, God is showing us today that life. That exalted life, which is beyond this dimension of men, and the eternal life that we all inherit. See, hallelujah. Revelation chapter 4. And after this I looked, and behold, the door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I'll show you things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven. And one sat on the throne, and he that sat was to look like a jasper and a sardine stone. Hallelujah. And there was a rainbow about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. Hallelujah. And around the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white garments, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, you know, voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which were the seven spirits of God. And before the throne was a sea of glass like unto crystal in the midst of the throne. And round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. Hallelujah. You can go back and read this thing in meditation. God can present this kind of revelation in different ways. Hallelujah. But it all reveals the eternal life that we are all called to lay hold on. eternal life. That is the life that is exalted above all. See, John saw one seated upon the throne. That is the one Father, one God, one Lord, one Spirit, who is above all, through us all. Hallelujah. See, but there has to be an elevation, there has to be an ascension, an awakening from the terrestrial unto the spiritual, from the visible unto the invisible. We have to pass through that door. And that door, like we have said, is none other than the consciousness that was in Christ Jesus. Paul says the mind that was in Christ Jesus. That is our life. Let that mind which was in Christ Jesus be. Hallelujah. And if that mind is as in Christ Jesus was, you know, works in us, we begin to walk by the Spirit, no longer according to the flesh. We begin to recognize that we have a life that is without, you know, that breaks the confines of time and space. It's a wonderful thing. Hallelujah. Praise God. This same door will discover Eden, will discover the paradise of God. We discover our golden crowns that, you know, that were cast to the ground. We discover our light garments. We discover the dominion that was lost. We discover the peace and the tranquil. Hallelujah. Because before us we see a glass sea, clear as crystal. Oh, hallelujah. No more sin consciousness. Hallelujah. Those that hunger for righteousness shall be filled. You can't be filled with righteousness as a man, but as you attain to life in the Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. These ones who attain to this place live by the light of the Spirit. That is why the Bible says there were seven lamps burning before them, which are the seven spirits of God. These ones live by the knowledge, by the wisdom of God, not by human intellect, but by the celestial wisdom that comes from the Father of Lights. It's a wonderful thing. Praise God. So this is our calling. So our calling is to recognize that door and to enter into that door. It's an open door. Praise God. It's an open door. But it might only seem shut to us when we refuse to recognize the truth about who we are. When we refuse to recognize our origins in light. When we refuse to recognize our inseparable nature of God, from God. When we refuse to recognize that we are spiritual beings. Hallelujah. Who for a moment are appearing in this natural world. Hallelujah. Let us ascend higher through that door. May God grant us grace, power in the inner man. Hallelujah. Strengthen everyone who has heard this message in the inner man. Hallelujah. So that we can all rejoice with this crown of life. So that we can all rejoice consciously, continuously, unhindered among the myriads who are gathered unto the Lord in this moment. And let us take our place today beyond the door, recognizing the secret of our existence, our being, a life without end. Hallelujah. Father, we bless you. We exalt you. Oh, hallelujah. Glory be to your name. There is none but you. Who is like unto thee, O God? Among the gods, there is none like you. Glorious and mighty in holiness, fearful in praise. Blessed be your name, O God. We exalt you. We magnify you. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah, hallelujah, Father. Thank you. Blessed be your name. Hallelujah. Let there be light. Let the light illumine the darkness in the hearts of the people. Let the people awake to life. Life, life. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Because it's done. Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Yes, Jesus. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lamb upon the throne, who reigns for